We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called. Eyes haven't seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. You must love the Lord, give Him all your heart. You must love the Lord because it's the greatest commandment, child of God. You must love the Lord, give Him your very heart. You must love the Lord, my child, because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I'll set Him on high because He has known my name. He shall call upon me, I'll answer Him, I'll be with Him in troubles. I'll deliver Him, I will honor Him. Oh, you must love the Lord, give Him all your heart. You must love the Lord because it's the greatest commandment, child of God. You must love the Lord, give Him your very heart. You must love the Lord. Ooh. Oh. Oh. He is your Lord and He is your God. He's your Creator, your Savior. He died for you and He really loves you. Oh, you must love the Lord, give Him all your heart. You must love the Lord because it's the greatest commandment, child of God. You must love the Lord, give Him your very heart. You must love Him, you must love Him, sweet Jesus. Give Him your very heart. With long life He'll satisfy you and show you His salvation. Oh, you must love the Lord. Tell Him you love Him. Say that you love Him. You must love Him. Tell Him you love Him. Say that you love Him. Show that you love Him. You must love Him. Tell Him you love Him, say that you love Him, show that you love Him. Oh, you must love the Lord. Tell Him you love Him, show that you love Him, you must love the Lord.
Amen. As we all stand, the Kingdom Kids, you can leave. So the Kingdom Kids, just wait. Kingdom Kids, you can just wait, just hold on. So let's put our hands together and let's welcome the anointed and His anointing, Pastor Chris.
Hallelujah. I prefer them to just wait a minute because I think it's appropriate that we will let the birthday girl also say something.
Sit down for a minute, everybody. Welcome from my side to this great service here this morning. What a blessing to be in the house of God. There's no greater place to be than to be near God. Amen. And we make a big fuss about our First Lady here because she plays a very big role in the establishment of this church and all the other churches that I have planted over my time, because she's been a great helper in the ministry. Amen. And so we don't just rush and brush it over, but we make a big fuss. Ah, hallelujah. Like the world makes a fuss of their stars, we also have stars. And the good thing about this morning is that this is the branch. There are many branches, but she prefers to be here. So you are blessed. Sometimes you say, I'm not here, then I'm other places, but she comes here always. So that also means that because there's a celebration here this morning, only this church enjoys the celebration. When it's my birthday, then all my children come together. But for my wife is a very private person. She doesn't like too much fuss. Are you with me? So she said, no, don't call a huge gathering, small. And so Pastor Robin just told me that I've got something for everybody after the service. So if you came this morning, you are very lucky, because besides getting the word of God, you also get some cake. Isn't it wonderful? Especially the students from UWC. Well, the students now, I think this time of the year, there's still a lot of money in your account, isn't it? But here towards August, you are always looking for food. I know you. I know things. I was also at UWC. Amen. So let me also say a few things about my precious wife. It's her birthday today. And I decided I will sing a song for her in front of all you people. You understand? So I brought my guitar along. I don't really play guitar in front of people. It's just a little private thing I do. So, but today I want to break out of my shell and just sing a love song to her. But while I'm doing that, I'm going to ask her also to greet you, okay? And then I can get ready and get my keys and stuff organized. The First Lady.
Good morning. Thank you, everyone. You may be seated. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's a great privilege and honor for me to be here. But first, let me greet all our first-time visitors. If you're here for the first time, you are so welcome. And also special greeting to Tasneem all the way from East London. She's joining us this morning as well. So, you know, when you're 10 years and under, it's like one figure. When you go over 10, it's two digits. So, while I was sitting there, I was thinking two digits. So, every time you get a note next to the first digit, it's either 10, 20, 30, you know. So, the next note that's coming next to my first digit is going to be Sasa. So, I'm thinking, is this really happening to me? You know? So when it gets to your birthday, you actually don't want the birthday to come very quickly, you know? Because you want to stay under the Sasa God, you know? But I'm thankful for God for what He has done in my life. And every year added to my life is really the grace of God. And there's such a lot of things that I can be grateful for. I can be grateful for good health. Just being here this morning is grace. So I'm thankful and I'm grateful. Thank you to each and everyone for your beautiful messages. My phone's been flooded with messages. And I hope that you too will be celebrated like you're celebrating me this morning. God bless you. You know, yesterday morning, my mommy came into the kitchen and she said, You know, it was Valentine's Day on Friday. So a lot of people get confused. Is it now the 14th or is it the 16th? Now this is happening to my mother as well. So yesterday was the 15th. And she said, was your birthday gisteravis? So I said, yes, mommy, it was yesterday. And mommy didn't even wish me. And she felt so bad. And she said, ik is nou so jammer, ik het nou nie gewee. So after that, I said, nah, I'm just joking, it's tomorrow, mommy, man. You know? So all of you know, I was looking at the cake here that's hidden. So I was thinking, I'm going to just share that cake with everyone. But the good news is, there's cake for everyone that's been supplied. So thank you, Pastor Robin. It's good to be here at KB, and I love you all. God bless you.
I normally charge for my singing. Come on, come on. Yay, yay, yay. Dazzy. Now, I don't want anybody to be offended, because this is not Christian songs. This is a love song. I'm not singing to God. I'm singing to my beloved. I bless the day I found you. I want to stay around you. And so I beg you, let it be me. Don't take this heaven from one. If you must cling to someone now and forever, let it be me. It's time we meet love. I find it be me. Cause it's time we meet love. I find complete love. Without your sweet love, what would life be? So never leave me lonely. Tell me you love me only, and that you'll always let it be me, and that you'll always let it be me. Okay, sit down, sit down, sit down. I'm writing some songs. Me and Lucy supposed to be writing some songs for the loyalty conference. And the songs we're taking from the old 70s and 60s. You young kids that were not born that, you won't understand the songs. But it's about love, you see. So in those days, the people used to write songs about, can I trust you, you see? Do you really love me? You see, because when I teach on loyalty, it's the same thing. It's, will your love be for forever? Like you students now, you all, you say you like this church and everybody who comes here, you like it. But the enemy is so quick to change your mind. And because you don't understand the importance of long stay. Short stays never help anybody. Everywhere you are, if you stay long, then you can accomplish great things. Like if you look at me now, I've got this church plus many other churches plus churches in other places of the country. But I had to stay long. I couldn't jump from one church to another. I had to stay here. And it took a while. It took patience to grow this thing. Yes. Amen. Amen. So this song I want to sing to my wife. Tonight your mind completely, you give your love so sweetly. Tonight the light of love is in your eyes. But here's the question, will you still love me tomorrow? Is this a lasting treasure? For just a moment's pleasure, can I believe the magic of your sign? Will you still love me tomorrow? Tonight with words unspoken, you say that I'm the only one. But will my heart be broken when the night meets the morning sun? I have to know that your love is the love that I can be sure of. So tell me now, and I won't ask again, will you still love me tomorrow? Will you still love me tomorrow? Tonight with words unspoken, you say that I'm the only pastor. But will my heart be broken when the night it's the morning sun? I have to know that your love is a love that I can be sure of. So tell me now, and I won't ask again, will you still love me tomorrow? So tell, and I won't ask again, will you still love me tomorrow? Faith, will you still love me tomorrow? Will you still love me tomorrow? Wacht. It's a church, please. Sit down. But we're going to change the words, me and Lucy, okay? We are almost there. We wrote the one already called, Have You Seen Her? It's a great song. Okay, short sermon, but powerful and important. We were blessed yesterday at the marriage enrichment. Oh, now the children can go. Must we bring them back for the cake or must we leave them outside? See now. Wonderful. My wife has now taken the new role as the J Church pastor. So she looks after all our churches. Children. That's good, isn't it? Blessings. So let me say that the Lord has blessed me with a very good friend. I met my wife when I was 19 years old. Wow. Say 19. And not really. I met my wife when we were like children. Are you with me? We were together in the same church. It's a great thing to meet somebody in a church. At least you know that the person had some good intentions. Or the person loves God. Meeting somebody in a nightclub is not a good place to meet somebody. Can we get the baby outside and then I can do the work of God? All right. So we met at the same church many years ago. Our church was like this church, like branches. Are you with me? So they didn't have many branches, but they had two branches in Cape Town. And we were in the one where the poor people met. And they were in the one where the more established, the mother church. So oftentimes we'd get coming together occasionally, like a mass group. And then I would see her. And I never thought that the two of us would like one another because I was from the poor side of the tracks, you understand? And she was from the more affluent side. And she played the piano. One day she must play for you. She's very good in piano. And I saw her play the piano one day and I looked at her. I don't know what I thought, but I thought something. And then as we grew older, we were in matric. So the church had us at the Bible school. So we were also together in the same class. And but she kept her very itty-tighty. I don't know if that's the right word, but we never talked really, you know. And until we graduated from there, and she joined the police force, and she was in the college, and I was just about getting ready to go to university, and that is when the blossoming love relationship started. Because my first words to her was, I hear you are a police lady. And she said, yes, it's my first words. And I said to her, my second line was, I will never marry a police woman. And only later she told me, she thought, who the hell thinks I want to marry you? But then we started talking and the Lord was good. Sometimes, you know, let me tell you something important about your life partner. God chooses your partner for you. You see, because when Adam needed someone, it was God who chose Eve for him. God even was involved in the making of the partner for him. So you mustn't think that these things are just falling in love and feelings, and it is spiritual. Whoever will share your life for the rest of your life is a spiritual decision. You must involve God in the decision. This is what I'm trying to say to you. Young ladies, don't just look at the man because of his shining shoes and his ring and his hairstyle. That's only now when you see, you don't even know what his bed looks like and his room looks like at home. You see the outside. Very dangerous. And the men the same. Don't fall for what you see on the outside. Because these ladies can look so nice, but you must go home. The best thing is to go home and see where she comes from and speak to her mother. A mother will tell you the truth of who you are going to get and what you're going to get. Most mothers are honest.
en sê, Here, my kind, ek voel jou jammer. Ek voel jou jammer. But her mother never had anything bad to say about her. She's a very tidy person. It's one of the things that struck me when I met her. Very clean, very tidy, always washing dishes, cleaning. It was her mother's torture for her when she was a child. And she still suffers from post-traumatic stress. So when we get into the kitchen, she's always cleaning what is in front of her. So I never have a dirty house. Isn't it nice? Yeah, I don't know. One day I came into a house and the people had a scullery. You know what a scullery? It's where you can hide the dishes that people don't see in the kitchen. So there's a little place behind there where you can put the dishes. And I was surprised. I think it was 3 weeks of dishes standing on top of each other, just about to fall over like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. The flies were having a field day. Mice were breeding, babies there. It was a terrible sight. And the young girls today, you must learn to be tidy and to be clean. If you want to learn something from my wife, it's that thing, cleanliness and tidiness. Somebody came and said, cleanliness is next to godliness. It's a saying. It's not a biblical quote. But it's actually not also right. Cleanliness is part of godliness. Not next to. God is clean. The Bible describes the heavens. Talks about the streets of gold and the walls of jasper. I don't think there's papers lying around there. Do you think? Or skottelgoed that's not washed up. No. So ladies, please. And men, look for this, okay? When you're dating these girls, go to the house. Don't stay away from. Go to the house. Check it out. Because what you see is what you will sow. Or what you sow is what you will see. Bishop Dyer calls it a seesaw. People don't really change. Are you with me? One day a man came with a very dirty car and he brought his girlfriend to my house. And I told the girlfriend, this dirtiness in the car is what you will see when you marry this guy. It won't change. What you see is what you will sow. Or what you will sow is what you have seen. You see, what you see now is what you sow. What is this? What you see now is what you sow. Please, please. Your life, listen, youngsters, I tell you something. I'm a man of wisdom. I've got gray hairs. It's only I dyed it so you can't see. What you do in the first 25 years of your life is what you will do for the rest of your life. It forms the pattern for the rest of your life. So this thing that you don't attend church, you don't love God, you think you're going to change suddenly after 25? No, it's not like that. You'll find yourself doing the same things. Believe me. And I find myself liking the same things and doing the same things. It doesn't really change. Do you understand? This is how life is. You will have a few changes here and there, but generally, I'm talking about generally, the things you like is the things you like, and the things you do is the things you do. So that's why the Bible says, remember now thy creator when you are young. You see, before the days come, the unhappy days, then you're going to say, oh man, I don't enjoy life. The New Translation says, I don't enjoy life. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1. Remember now thy creator in the days of your youth, before the unhappy days come. Hey. Unhappy days are coming now. Marriage brings unhappy days. Children bring unhappy days. Children will make you cry. Most of the crying of women is just because of two things. Children and marriage. Think about it. If you take long to think, you'll get it by Wednesday. What makes you cry, ladies? Love, isn't it? It's this relationship, marriage. It's to do with relationships. You broke my heart. Will you still love me tomorrow? So be careful now. The person you choose. So God gave me a good wife. And
What I liked about my wife more than anything, I think the day I really realized that she's a good girl, is I saw her come to the crusade that was far from her house. We were having a crusade in our area. I was led by a great evangelist, Ati Prince. He led me to the Lord. And subsequent years after, I also used to go and attend these services. So at one stage, I saw her driving. She just got a license at the age of 17 or 18. So she came there to the tent, and I thought, wow, a young girl coming alone to the crusades. What an uncommon thing. What a beautiful thing. It's like if your friends say, no, I'm not going to church this morning. It doesn't matter if they go or don't go. You come. Do you see? It means that your love is for God, not for the friends next to you. Your love for God supersedes all other loves. And that is what God likes. Because the Bible says, when they asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart. Don't give part of your heart to somebody. Love him with all your heart. With all your strength. And with all your mind. He will give you the right person in your life. He will give you the right partner. Amen. Who chose Adam's wife? God chose him. So let God choose for you. Let God choose your partner for you. Serve him. Honor him. You see, if you're busy with the wrong partner, God in his great majesty and power, he will create something that causes a breakup. If you trust him. Because you see, if you marry the wrong person, it's bitter for the rest of your life. The second greatest decision in your life ever is who you will marry. I'm teaching this because yesterday I spoke for 3 hours about marriage. It was a seminar. Not a seminar, really. It was something. You must choose carefully. And God blessed me with a very good wife. Even for me, I preach very strong topics. I couldn't do it if I didn't have a good wife. Not perfect, but very good. I'm not perfect. She's not perfect. So we also experience some of the marital issues that most couples experience. And that's what makes us so real to the people. Amen. You don't see her pictures pasted up all over the show here. Did you see? No. Because God called me for the ministry. And God called her to help me. Wow. What a blessing. We are not equal. Oh no. I'm the leader. She helps me. We're not confused. Some churches are confused. You don't know if the pastor is in charge or the wife is in charge. No, in this church, be assured, I'm in charge. She's second. She's my assistant. And she's not even second in command of the church. Are you with me? She's my assistant. That's it. That's all. My wife. Wow. She helps me to play my role. Hallelujah. Behind every successful man, there's a good wife. It's not true. Behind some successful men, they are very wicked women. But I have a good woman behind me. Amen. Clap for her for the last time. And then I will preach. And she still works for a secular department because she wants to give money to the work of God. She's the biggest donor, percentage-wise, in the whole church. She gives more than 10% of her money to the church. And then after that, she gives money to missionaries, some of our missionaries on the field, and then also other children who don't have parents. And I'm blessed by that. Because I've told her to come work with me in the church, but she feels she can help more people by blessing them. May you also have a heart like that. Because there are many children who don't have parents, who are orphans, who need your help. And God can raise you up to be a mother and a father for more than your biological children. Do you understand? Like, I see everybody here as my children. So if you should have a desperate need, I won't just pass you by if I know about it. Because the Lord has given me that anointing to be a father. Not all pastors are fathers. You are blessed when you have a pastor who is like a father. Hallelujah. Right.
My message is very short and it's about women because is this the birthday, isn't it? Two women were called Mary and Martha. You know these two women? They were friends of Jesus. Jesus also had very good friends in the short time he visited the planet. He stayed only for 33 years. And for 30 years, not much was said of him because he was a carpenter. He worked hard. Amen. Must have had strong muscles because he made doors and frames and coffins and what else. Imagine sleeping in a coffin Jesus made. Well, you probably will rise from the dead. Isn't it wonderful? But carpenters made coffins and roofs and whatever carpenters do today. Jesus was like that. But he had two wonderful friends. Actually three, Lazarus and the two sisters, Mary and Martha. And he liked them. You know why? Because they honored him so much. They respected him and they honored him. And one of them actually, she washed his feet. You see, washed his feet with the hair. Because remember when Lazarus was risen from the dead in Luke chapter 11, the Bible tries to explain to us who are these people. And it says, it was that Mary that washed his feet with her hair. Wow. And for that Mary was done a great miracle. You see, when I teach you to honor me, it's not that I need your honor. I don't even need money or honor. I want you to be blessed, you see. Because if you study that story correctly, it is the honor that Mary gave to Jesus which made her receive the greatest miracle ever recorded in the Bible. Nobody else received that type of miracle, the raising of the dead after 4 days. But you must look at it in its context. It is the way she respected and honored him. She even washed her feet, his feet, with her hair. Wow. Why do you let people wash your feet? And why do you let the woman? There was a woman with the alabaster box who broke. There's two stories of the woman. The one who broke the box of ointment on his feet. And they said, why waste this money? You see, she was honoring him. And people tried to stop the honor. Many people will try to stop you from honoring. So if you like, for example, tell your people, we've got a good pastor, Pastor Chris. They say, don't talk so much about your pastor. You see, people will always try to stop you from honoring. Because it is through honor that you get blessed. Oh, yes. I am very blessed. I have a pastor who I really honor. I honor him. If he tells me now I must leave and come, I'll tell my wife, listen, I must go. My pastor needs me. I'll leave. My brother, Pastor Clint, is the same. He has a pastor in America who is very sick now. And the pastor told him, I need you to come. He played me the clip. He's having a big conference next week here in Cape Town. But when he heard the message from his pastor in America, he told me, I can't do this conference. My father is calling me. I must go. And he's there now. He just arrived, I think, 2 days ago. He said, can you continue with the conference? This conference coming Saturday. I'm speaking there. And he said, can you continue? And I have to go. It's that type of honor, you see, that makes him blessed. That's why he's blessed. I'm blessed. He's blessed because we understand the principle. But be careful that people don't rob you from the honor that you show, because it is what they try to do in the Bible. They try to stop Mary from honoring Jesus and said, why waste this money? It could have been given to the poor. Hey. Any rate. So, turn your Bibles quickly. I'm going to be short. I tell you, Luke 10:38. The Bible says, Luke 10:38. Is this projector now working? We apologize for this problems this morning. I'm sure it will be solved next week. Go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs. What did I say? Luke 10:38. 38. You have the wrong scripture. Then I have the wrong scripture. Are you Luke 10:38? Is it about Mary? Somebody go to the back and help there, please. There we go, there we go. So what were you giving me? Say, what a shock. Just put it on speaker so we all can hear if it's an emergency phone call. Anyway, I'm just joking. Okay, no problem. It's a new phone, a smartphone. So she asked somebody to phone her so that the others can also see she's got a great phone. Wow. That's a blessing. Aish! Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, and they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her home. Hallelujah. And she had a sister. Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. Mary. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will never be taken away from her." I want to freeze on that scripture, and I want you to look at that first line, that there is only one thing. And I'm preaching now for 5 to 10 minutes, Pentecostal minutes. You will ask Pastor Robin afterwards, what's a Pentecostal minute, okay? Pentecostal's time is different to normal time. Glory to God. Say after me, there is only one thing. Jesus said these powerful words. He said, "Martha, Martha, Martha, you worried about many other things, but there is one thing worth being concerned about." Oh, I love this. There is one thing being worth concerned about, and Mary has discovered it. Glory to God. And it will never be taken from her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She discovered the importance of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Wow. How precious it is to sit at his feet. Amen. Down at your feet, O Lord, is the most high place. Aye. So like Martha, most people are busy with unnecessary things. Is it true? Whilst they neglect the one thing, say one thing, that is really, really important. Some people will spend all their time decorating their homes. You can fall so in love with the stuff you have, you know. And you're always saying that you must do this, do that. And what can you do? You can be busy making food. Many people who don't come to church on a Sunday, they always say they must make food, isn't it? Have you heard that story? So some ladies say, "No, the children can go, but I can't go because I must make food." Others, again, they wash clothes on a Sunday. Have you noticed? It's like that. It's my day for washing of clothes. Was it last week I preached here about the Sabbath, the importance of the Sabbath? Yeah, that was also a good message. Amen. But people can have so many things that are important and keep them busy. Getting the right education for their children. Hey. Making food for your husband. Busy about money to support your lifestyle. And that is why people work to have money, isn't it? So it becomes more important than anything else. You don't find the importance of sitting at the feet of Jesus because you say, "Now I must work." I like what one of our young men just did now. He just found a new job, and for 2 Sundays, the job kept him out of church. And immediately he told the boss, "Look, take your job, man. Because as much as I'm getting money, there is one thing that is more important for me. You see, and one thing that is needful is the one thing that Mary has found. I want to sit at his feet." Amen. Hallelujah. Money! No. Look, I'll tell you how people love money. Huh? If I must tell you all next week that I'll give a 500 rand to everybody who comes to church. You will even bring five of your friends from university. Isn't it true? Look, be honest with me. You'll tell them there's a 500 rand the pastor is giving to everybody who comes. I'm explaining to you how people can love other things besides God. If you tell them, come to sit at the feet of Jesus. For 500 rand. Where? How? When? Now? We can go now. You see, the love of money is the root of all evil. Are you listening? Mary chose one thing. Say again, one thing. This one thing is powerful. She chose the one thing that was needed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What are people busy with today? People are trying to find love. Everybody's looking for boyfriend, girlfriend. Them girls dress nice and they put makeup. It's all just to be seen also by men, by suitors. That's the right word. A suitor is coming. A knight in shining armor. Every young girl desires to be loved, to have a handsome man to marry with muscles, isn't it? And money. Or muscles with no money, or money with no muscles. Or both. Money and muscles. God help us. People are busy getting jobs. People are busy making friends. People are trying to be part of groups. WhatsApp groups. Add me to the group. Block me from the group. It put me in. Hey, you are either adding or blocking or adding or blocking. I always hear people say, yeah, he was pestering me, so I blocked him. Then he phoned me on another number, and then I unblocked him. You think you have power? You have power now, you can block and unblock. Many people are busy with education. Ooh. I'm telling you what people are busy with. What are they busy with that makes them too busy? The story is about a woman that was too busy to sit at the feet of Christ. And Jesus said, no. You are worried about too many things. The one thing that you should have been worried about, you didn't worry about. But Mary, she was worried about the main thing. And it will never be taken from her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It will never be taken from her. Glory to God. So, there's many things that can keep you busy, but the one thing is important. Let me tell you a story about a very educated man, a professor. Professor is the highest degree you can get at university. Actually, don't get it. It's conferred upon you. After you do your PhDs and you do many researches, eventually they confer upon you professorship. Are you listening? But this was a very proud professor. And he was on his journey somewhere in Africa, and then eventually he came to this big lake, and he was looking for a ferry to cross over, but there was no big ferry for him to cross over, and he saw that there was a small boat there, and this guy in the boat, the boatman, came to him and said, look, if you want to cross over here, you can climb in my boat and I will take you over. And the professor looked at his very proud, and because he's very educated, and said, oh, this old small boat, but he needed to go over, and there was no bigger boat and nicer boat. So he said, reluctantly jumped in the boat. And while the man was rowing him over this huge lake, he asked the man a question. He asked the man, he said, do you know anything about sociology? The man said, social what? Sociology. And the man said, no, senor, I don't know anything about that. And the professor said, 10% of your life is gone. Then the professor saw the man was eating while he was rowing and he didn't even wash his hands. So he said, do you know anything about bacteriology? He said, what? He says, no, I don't know anything about that. He said, another 10% of your life is gone. Then he asked him, as they were kept on rowing, you know, he started to pull his face up with this man who eats with the dirty hands. He said, do you know anything about astrology? He said, what? No, don't know. Another 10% of your life is gone. He said, so what do you know? Do you know physics? No. Do you know biochemistry? No. Do you know anthropology? No. He said, another 10% of your life is gone. And as they were rowing, the wind started to pick up over the ocean, over this lake. And the waves started to bulge the boat. And it was clear that not long, this boat is not going to survive because the storm was very wild. And the boat was going to capsize. So the boatman turned to the professor and asked him, do you know anything about swimmerology? He said, what is that? I've never heard about that. So the boatman said, 100% of your life is gone. Because he knew many things. But the one thing, say one thing, that was important for his life, he didn't know. And you are sitting here this morning and there could be many things you are concerned about, but the one thing that you should have thrown your life into, you didn't. And it's the thing that would have made all the difference. Are you listening to me? Say one thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus is the one thing that you need. You need to sit at his feet. Amen. And like Mary, the one thing is needful for your life to get the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when you embrace her. Hallelujah. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Why? To receive the wisdom of God. Put it in the NLT, then I can show them quickly. I'm finishing now. Hallelujah to God. Get wisdom. Hey, you guys must learn from Beverly. So when he's gone, then I don't have to look back. Amen. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Right? This is, go to the next verse. It's important. Exalt her. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her and she will honor you. Beautiful. Hallelujah. She will honor you. So the reason for sitting at the feet is to get what we call the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. I see you becoming wise and your foolishness is starting to leave you. The opposite of wisdom is foolishness. Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. Don't think that the things of God are secondary or unimportant. It's the main thing. When Jesus had the opportunity to teach us, he taught us this. He said, Martha was cumbersome about many things, but the one thing she didn't do is to come sit at my feet. Hallelujah. Number three, I'm just getting ready to finish. There is usually one thing that keeps people away from God. Make sure you do not allow one thing to keep you away from your salvation. Hallelujah. Don't allow money or a habit. What habit can you have? Don't allow a woman or a man to prevent you from fulfilling your calling. Hey, because it is normally one thing that also keeps people from God. Listen to Mark 10:21. Mark 10:21. Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. You see, there's it again. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. There is still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Say again, one thing, everybody. Everybody say one thing. I want you to stick in your mind. It's the sermon this morning called One Thing You Haven't Done. He told him, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor and you will have great treasure in heaven. Because the man did many good things, but there was one thing that kept him from Christ. I'm asking you, what is keeping you from serving God the way God wants to be served? What is keeping you from sitting at his feet? He said to this rich man, sell all you have. Hey, it was a tough one, this. One thing you lack, sell all you have and give it to the poor. One thing that is needful for you is to have a personal encounter with God. Amen. Christianity is not about just coming to church, people. You can be part of BMI, but you must know Jesus for yourself. You must love Jesus. Amen. You must have what we call a personal relationship with Christ. Hallelujah. John chapter 9, verse 25, the Bible says, a man that was blind was made whole, and they asked him, what happened to you? He says, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Hallelujah. The man replied, but I know this. They were asking him, this man who healed you, is he a good man? Is he a sinner? He says, look, I don't know. I don't know many things. Say things. But one thing I know. Whereas I was blind, now I can see. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you that the Christianity I preach to you, some of the things are mysterious. You can't always explain everything. But the one thing you can say, once I was blind, but now I can see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus can do for you. You can't almost understand, why would people want to be in the church? Why do people want to lift their hands? Why do people want to sing to God? Why do people love God so much? You see, because it's mysterious until you find it. It's like a pearl of great price. Until you find salvation, then you say, hey, I don't know about many other things, but one thing I know. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then, very important, one thing that is needful is that you must make a sacrifice so that you can have treasure in heaven. Luke 18:22. Luke 18:22. It is time to take up your cross to follow Jesus. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto them, King James Version, please, yet lackest thou one thing. See all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Lackest thou one thing. You see, to have treasure in heaven, you must sacrifice. Amen. You can work for a boss and get money to have things on the earth, but to have treasure in heaven, you will have to pay a price. Hallelujah. And then last but not least, yes, the one thing that is needful is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and spend eternity with God. David said in Psalm 27 verse 4, he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. This is a very beautiful, poetic part of the scripture. One thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. There's a song we used to sing that had this part in Virgil, the dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. One thing I know, that I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. It was something that Don Mowun used to sing. And I used to get upset with the song because it's like Christians, they enthrall themselves with the music sometimes in the church, but they don't listen to the lyrics that they are singing. Do you understand? Because is it really what you desire? Is it what you desire? He says, one thing I desired of the Lord. What do you desire? I ask yourself as I close. What do you desire? Think about this for a minute. What would you like in life? There's many things. Someone to get married. Someone to have a job. Someone to finish the education. Someone this. But what is the one thing that you desire? Listen to this man.
He said, one thing I desire of the Lord, and I will seek after that thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. All the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. You have the song that I'm looking for? What is that one? Huh? It has it. If you people must be in tune, then you will get it. Hallelujah. This is the thing you desire. To be in the house of the Lord all the days of your life. A person who is edgy about the church time being longer than normal, he doesn't have this desire. Are you listening to me? A person who says, I can't come to church so much. You mustn't sing this type of songs. Please don't lie in the house of God. Please don't lie. One thing I desire, one thing, is to be in His tabernacle, to dwell in His presence. Hey, all the days of my life. Hallelujah. You see, may Jesus become so big to you and so real to you that you fall in love with Him and you sit at His feet like Mary. And the other things you mustn't worry too much about. The real thing, the most important thing, is at His feet. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, everybody. They can't get the song, but we'll do that one at His play. I love sitting at your feet.
I love hearing what you say. I love knowing your desire. I'm so pleasure to obey. Your favor is like sunrise. It's driving all my nights away. I love sitting at your feet every single day. I love sitting at your feet every single
day. I want to pray a kind of prayer that ask God to make you blind to the things, the other things that distracts you from the one thing. That's the type of prayer I want to pray this morning. It's almost like, God, I'm cumbersome like Martha about many things. I'm worried about many. Cumbersome means you are worried. Lord, I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about my studies. I'm worried about my money. I'm worried about where will I live, what will I do, what will I, but I want to pray this prayer that I can have the place that Mary had, who sat at your feet and you sit of her. This thing she has done is the one thing that is necessary and it cannot be taken from her. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here this morning and you want to come to the place where you want to also have a desire to run after God, to have a love for God. It shouldn't be that people are always begging you and coaching you to come to church, and you feel that if you don't come, they'll ask where you were. It should be a deep desire from within. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to inquire in His tabernacle, to seek the beauty of the Lord. Lift your hands right where you are. I pray for you.
Ashe toro bondo shteke ya baba shteke kala bobo bondo.